In this paper, I would like to shortly present the characteristic of a fragment coming from Fustat and arrived in Europe through the antiquarian dealer Erich von Schelling from Leiden. It's an example of the fragmentary nature of these materials coming from the deposit of Fustat. They are scattered fragments, and they are the result of a phenomenon of dispersion and collection in trading these cultural artifacts. Secondly, I would like to present a few examples of the characteristics of the text of this fragment and the questions that these characteristics suggest about the textual type of this early Quranic manuscript and the relationship between them in general, and in particular between the artifacts that once were stored in the same deposit. The tools that can be useful in answering these questions about textual type and relationship between manuscripts are digital philology for building an archive of the text of the deposit of Fustat, as well as of the text of other deposits of early Quranic manuscripts. And the second tool is phylogenetics for inferring trees and reticulate networks among manuscripts, among the diverse materials of the deposit. The example I would like to present is Mingana, Islamic Arabic 1572, from the Mingana collection in Birmingham. It is composed of two groups of leaves, probably split from two different early Quranic codices. The first group includes two folios, the first and the seventh, whereas the second group contains seven leaves, structured as three bifolios and one single leaf. Despite the fact that they have been bound together once in Birmingham, they appear as two separate entities in the Mingana correspondence, and there are no elements for supposing that these two groups were part of a single project in writing the Quranic text. I will focus on the seven leaves group. Alphonse Mingana purchased these leaves from Erich von Schelling in September 1936, after having been able to cut the price, as it was his normal habit to ask a reduced price, as he wrote in a letter to von Schelling. I'm quoting, "Dear sir, I'm not back from my holiday. Among the manuscript which you sent to me are seven torn vellum leaves of a Quran, which you priced at £16. I think that this price is too high. If you bring down the price of these leaves to £11, I will send you a check for the Gershuni manuscript and these leaves at the same time." And of course, he was able to buy the seven leaves for £11. The seven leaves match a fragment held at the National Library of Russia in St. Petersburg, 17 leaves, and the fragment held at the Museum of Islamic Art in Doha, 4 leaves. Before their trading in Europe through several channels and periods from the 18th century until the 21st century, these 28 leaves belong to the same codex as identical features as sequence of the text indicate. The St. Petersburg fragment clearly indicates that the manuscript is a work of the Amr Mosque in Fustat, but the statement written at its beginning. Thus, from Fustat to St. Petersburg through Marseille in the 19th century, from Fustat to Birmingham through von Schelling in the 20th century, and from Fustat to Doha through an anonymous Italian collector in a few years ago. The leaves are likely to have been part of a bigger codex that we could call Petropolitano Birminghamensis, which is now scattered among these three institutions. As regards the writing process and the production of this artifact, the copy of this fragment was written by four scribes. Moreover, the analysis of the variants and their corrections reveals a few details about the mechanism of copying this text and about the later use of this copy, but also about the exemplar that the scribes were copying. In fact, on a few points, it is possible to argue that the variants of the copy were present in the exemplar used for copying, or maybe they were present in the memory of the scribes. An example seems to be the reading Bi Aujuhikum, your faces, in Surah 5. The reading was corrected in scribendo, so the scribe, in this case Henhei, probably started writing Bi Aujuhikum, the reading of Ubay, one of the scribes of Muhammad, whose codex had been diffused in Syria before the appearance of the Ottomanic codex. However, the scribe interrupted his writing to write the other form of plural, Bi Wujuhikum. Where was the variant? In the exemplar, the correction in scribendo seems to suggest a copying process from an exemplar. Thus, it is likely that the reading of Ubay was in the exemplar, or was the reading of Ubay in the memory of the scribe? Thus, for example, again in Surah 5, the manuscript reads, Wa anta ala kulli shay qad, erased, shahid, with the rajur of qad, which could be interpreted by conjecturing that the first hand, in this case hand B, corrected in scribendo the variant he had started to write. That is the formula that occurs 35 times in the Quranic text. Wa anta ala kulli shay qadir, you are powerful over everything, instead of you are over all things a witness, which occurs only 8 times. So once again, where was the variant? Was it in the exemplar? The variant qadir could imply an oral dimension in the writing process, and this oral phase of the mechanism could correspond to the phase of retention of the text by the copyist after the reading. However, the mechanical errors and the several variants in which the scribe omitted part of the words make the hypothesis highly probable that they were using a written exemplar. Although the text of the copy that has been produced agrees substantially with the text of the Medina Mushaf, that is the base text I've used in my analysis for technical reasons, at a few points it reads variants that involve a different consonantal skeleton. These variants are not only related to orthography and orthographic license, grammatical competence and performance, together with interference between linguistic systems, but they disagree with the consonantal outline, thus reading synonyms and syntactic variants. Not all the variants imply a different consonantal outline have been later corrected and conformed to the consonantal outline of the standard text. Our copy and the standard text agree to a great extent. More precisely, the copy of the manuscript reads differently for 701 words out of 11,300 words written in it. The great majority of the variants are subjective choices concerning merely orthography words like scriptio defectiva, scriptio plena, disappearance of Hamza, and the spelling of Alik Maksura, among others. As regards the variants that disagree with the rasm of the Medina Mushaf, they number 118, excluding the variants due to different position or number of diacritics, as in the case of the lexical variants concerning the voice and recipient of the message. I mean the reading of the second person plural in verbs you instead of the third plural they. This means that there are 118 anomalous readings in this copy, like, for example, the reading of the perfect kharaju after the particle in, if, instead of the imperfect in fa'in yakhruju, if they live, in Surah 5. So 118 anomalous readings, excluding the orthographic variants, means about 1% of the whole text that has been copied. It is worth noting that not all of the anomalous readings have been corrected in later stages of the writing reading process, like, for example, the following variant, that is a Syrian reading. In the portion of the text copied in our fragment, the so-called Syrian Codex, that is a reconstruction based on the Qiraat traditions, since we do not have a Syrian Codex. So the Syrian Codex reads three distinctive variants, and our copy reads all these three variants, and one of them, the variant you can see here, Wa Bilzuburi in Surah 3, has not been corrected against Wal Zubur without the repetition of the preposition be. Could this suggest awareness in the later reading stage of its being accepted by the tradition? Could they be indicative of the provenance? It is not automatic to infer that the Syrian reading was diffused through Syria. And moreover, it is worth mentioning that the Codex Parisino-Petropolitanus reads the same distinctive variants of the Syrian Codex in this portion of text, and that the Codex Parisino-Petropolitanus reads, there are four common points, but in one of them is missing in the Birmingham fragment, but the three points agree. Moreover, at a few points, the scribe of our copy have indicated a subdivision of the Quranic text that differs from the subdivision of the Medina Mushaf and from the alternative readings transmitted by the Islamic tradition, thus showing distinctive ends of verses. What is interesting is that our copy agrees nine times with the system used in the Codex Parisino-Petropolitanus at those points in which there is disagreement among the systems, and three times out of nine, the two copies have a unique subdivision system of the text. Among the anomalous variants affecting the consonantal skeleton, I mean, there are readings suggesting further questions and the need of investigating the entire corpus of the Fustat materials. Thus, for example, hirj, restriction, instead of hijr, forbidden, in Surah 6, as transmitted also in the Qiraat literature, being a reading of Ubay and Ibn Masud, amongst the other. This typology of variants does not support the common idea that no extant manuscript reads variants of the original codices of the Quranic text or anomalous readings, and that the Sana palimpsest is the only available manuscript text in which changes have been interpolated, the only non-Uthmanic text. But what is exactly a non-Uthmanic text, and what are its characteristics? The presence of variants attributed to Ibn Masud does not mean that our manuscript represent an Ibn Masud text type or a companion text type different from the Uthmanic text type, but it raises the research question of investigating the relationship between manuscripts to group them beyond the traditional definition of these early manuscripts as reflecting a mixed textual type. The definition of text type cannot be based only in comparison with the Qiraat literature, but it demands comparison with the manuscript tradition, possibly by drawing phylogenetic networks between manuscripts that come from the same deposit, from Fustat, and then, hopefully, between groups of manuscripts coming from different deposits. The tools we have at our disposal are digital philology and phylogenetics, through encoding the text of the Fustat manuscript. Through digital philology, the scholar encodes the physical process of the manuscript text, its making and its text, the richness of all the manuscript text. Digital philology with its tag and decoding is a tool and a perspective on editing Quranic manuscripts. It means to transcribe their mobile and multi-layered richness using XML encoded expressions. This perspective aims to produce an archive which presents all of the manuscript evidence rather than producing an edition. Thus, we obtain a searchable corpus of manuscripts, searchable, of course, according to the tagging system chosen by the scholar encoder. This corpus can be shared and expanded by scholars as far as we use a standard system, the TAI. This archive could be our understanding of the Fustat deposit, and digital editions are not a mere migration from their printed static shape to an online presence. They should be encoded nonlinear transcriptions of manuscript text that allow the editors to represent the manuscript as a process and to build structured databases of text and artifact elements. In conclusion, as regards the tool of phylogenetic software, it could be of great advantage in the field of Quranic manuscript studies, where stemmatics analysis seems to be a very recent approach. The characteristic observed in the manuscript from the Mingana collection raised the research question of investigating the relationship among manuscripts to group them by exploring the manuscript evidence. In the last few years, the use of computer programs for estimating mutations in DNA and their propagation, the phylogenetics, to understand the similar situation of changes in manuscript copies and their propagation, has assisted textual scholars in handling relationships among manuscripts, thus challenging our approach to understanding the so-called Uthmanic tradition, that is, the evolution of the transmission in all of the extant manuscript. And this is the new project I'm starting at the end of the summer. Thanks.